year the Bears and Packers play. Twice, actually. That's how that works. But I gotta tell you, even though it's just December 1 right now, this feels big. It feels important. Matt LaFleur, of course, and Aaron Rodgers, by extension, have had a tremendous time playing the Bears over the years. I think I saw a stat. Tell me if I'm wrong, Gabe. Is he 11-1, Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, the first loss coming last game last year.
Against the Chicago Bears as head coach of the Green Bay Packers. But I got to tell you guys, this feels like the most important game since, almost a decade.
Packers-Bears?
Like, yeah, the most important Packers-Bears matchup.
NFC Championship game,
well,
right?
Well, because, and was that 2010? Is that what you're thinking?
Was that
2010
that
season
was 10,
when they
yeah.
beat them?
Yeah, 2010.
I mean, because most of the time when the Packers and Bears face off this late in the season, Bears don't have a winning record, right? I mean, I think I saw this is the latest that they've had, that both teams have had a winning record in like a decade. I'll have to pull the exact number on that. But the point is, typically when the Packers face the Bears, the Bears are just trying to figure it out still, you know, trying to maybe put together a few wins late in the season. But now they're number one in the NFC with the Packers nipping at their heels. And as Gabe has mentioned, the winner of this game will find themselves the top team in the NFC. Again, barring
other
things.
Well, NFC North. Yeah, top team in the NFC North. You're playing for
the division. Barring other things that go on in the rest of the NFC on Sunday. This feels really monumental. Am I overselling it now to say that it's the most important Bears-Packers game in about a decade?
Well, yeah, because then it's because then you play them again in 2 weeks. So is that going to be even bigger than this one?
Could be.
You know, it depends on what happens between now and then.
Yeah, I mean, there's
just such
a weird scheduling quirk that you're playing the Bears twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
These next two games are big for both of those teams if you want to win the North. And winning the North is going to get you a top three seed, maybe a top two seed. I still think it's tough for the Packers to end up being that number one seed. I think right now they got a 15% chance of that.
Mm-hmm.
That tie out there lingering is just going to be tough to ultimately surpass whatever team ends up winning the West, whether it's the Rams, whether it's the Seahawks. But getting home games in the playoffs is something that the Packers want to do, something that they need to do, have not done in this era of Jordan Love. They haven't won the division. And that's what you're playing for. First place in the division, putting yourself in the driver's seat the rest of the way to host playoff games, playoff game or games, if you get that two seed, at Lambeau Field. And I think that's huge.
I think most fans outside of Green Bay and Chicago are like, okay, if they beat the Packers, then I'll call them for real.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not calling them for real yet.
But again, you've just like you had an opportunity to make things difficult for the Lions. If you win both these games against the Bears, maybe that sends them into a little bit of a downward spiral. If you can beat the Bears both times and sweep the Bears and be sitting there at 5-0 in the division.
If they're going to split, what game would you rather have them win? In Chicago?
I'd rather have them win this week. I want to have
this
that momentum
week?
Going into Denver.
Okay. How many can they lose?
For what?
And win the division?
And win the division, too?
As long as both of them aren't to the Bears. You lose both to the Bears, the division's gone.
Okay. Because I didn't think there was a chance in hell that Chicago was beating Philly. And they went in there, not only beat them, they took it to
looked
them.
Really good.
But I think Gabe makes a great point. The Philadelphia Eagles are not the same team that won the Super Bowl last year.
Offensively. I still think their defense is pretty solid.
But it's not even the same defense, Chu. Like, and they knew that. That's why they were desperate to acquire. They talked somebody out of retirement, gave up a bunch of draft capital to go get a different, to get Jalen Phillips out of Miami. Like, they were desperate to try to replace what that defensive line was a year ago. Like, the defense isn't nearly as good as it was.
I still wouldn't want to play Philly in the playoffs.
Depends. If they keep doing what they're doing right now,
it looks like they're on the verge of total implosion.
Kind of like what they were 2 years ago.
Is searching for the division aiming too small?
No.
A one seed is well within play here. Sure, you need some help.
I mean, you need a lot of help. You need a lot of help.
It's totally in play.
15% is totally in play?
Yeah.
Totally in play? No.
Yeah.
15%. 15%.
Well, listen, yep. Last week we were talking about the Rams being the class of the NFC, and I know they lost this weekend, but we can't be that wishy-washy, right? Are the Rams still the best team in the NFC? I say yes. We talk about clunkers on this show all the time. Rams had a clunker. I still think that they are the team in the catbird seat when it comes to the one
Rams
seed.
Are plus 200, Seahawks plus 475, Packers next at plus 500.
For
the NFC.
Yeah, but this is their remaining schedule. They got the Cardinals, they got the Lions, they got the Seahawks, but they end with the Falcons and Cardinals.
Packers can't lose again. They have to go undefeated in this stretch.
So,
Toyotathon.
Problem is, I think Toyotathon ends before the end of the regular season.
Eclipses every year.
Yeah, eclipses us every year. But and the reason why I say no, Josh, because this team hasn't won the division. Like, you have to set your sights at the division, and I don't want to overlook that and go, oh, let's go get that number one seed. No, you got to check these things off as you go. Once you, if you beat the Bears, mm-hmm. and you beat the Bears again, yeah, then I think we can start talking yeah. about that. Yeah. The Packers aren't even in first place in the division right now. Like, you got to get there before we can start talking about number one seeds.
I've disregarded the Bears.
I feel that's dangerous.
That's a little too
as
early.
Bad as the Packers run defense is, and that's the one thing I will give the Chicago Bears credit for is running the football, and that's the Packers' biggest weakness.
Yeah, I think it's as simple as you line up, play your game, you beat that team almost every time.
And I like this response from David in the YouTube stream. He says, we lost to the Panthers and the Browns and couldn't beat the Cowboys. Why are we talking about beating the Bears twice? Not going to happen, my friends.
Yeah,
a split is the best case scenario.
No,
and look,
get out of here with that.
But here's the thing I agree with. The problem with the Packers has been their inconsistency. Mm-hmm. And yes, sure. They are dealing with injuries, and it feels like we are always talking about how impactful every injury we talk about is. It's not just like some backup guy who's injured and we're going, it will be fine. These are big, big-time injuries that do affect the team's production on both sides of the ball. They have to continue to, as you say, Gabe, stack success. The win against the Vikings was great. The win against the Lions was tremendous. But if you go out there and clunker against the Bears, I'm not sure that it means anything. And we're right back to square one of, well, this team could beat anyone, but they could also lose to anyone. And that has been the Achilles heel of this Packers team in 2025 so far.
Yeah, and the way that teams have beaten the Packers by shortening the game by running the football. It's the biggest thing that I am concerned about in going into this game. Coming up with a plan to slow teams down. Halfley has struggled with that.
Yeah.
At different points this season.
Well, but then the alternative is then, if you are a team like the Green Bay Packers and the other team is running the ball, chewing the clock, then you have to let Jordan Love win the game. You have to let Jordan Love go out there and you have to let Jordan Love throw the ball downfield. If you don't have all of the time, if the time of possession is going to be so skewed, do you trust? I do. I trust that he could do that. Does Matt LaFleur trust that Jordan Love can be that guy and get that done?
I think yes. But again, you don't want to just, you also don't want to have quick possessions because then you're putting your defense out there that's just consistently gassed. You got to hold on to the football for a little bit.
I think it's more of let Caleb Williams lose the game.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to let him run. They're not going to let him run. What'd they do against Philly? 237?
280 something.
You know, they might give him 120. 120. Is not going to get you a ton of points.
281 is what they ran for against the Eagles.
And that's what I would do. You know? Load the box, switch up man, cover three, limit the run, and let their quarterback see what he can do. Right?
Do you go more base? Like, what would you do in this situation?
Confuse them. I don't think it takes much to confuse them.
Well, but if they're running the football, like...
I would drop... passing situations, just rush four and let Parsons go. Let flush Williams.
What are you doing first and second down to try to slow down the
box.
Run game?
Just load the box.
But are you going more base and having a third linebacker on the field? What are you doing personnel-wise?
Just match what their personnel is. I mean, if they're coming in three wides, then you just match it, nickel. Because they like their tight ends.
Yeah.
They play a lot of two tight ends where you kind of... kind of have to go base to protect yourself against the run. But I would definitely, especially with the loss of Wyatt, you got to make a strong box. You know? You got to make a strong box. Because some of the big runs against Detroit, Parsons is in that rush mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's in that rush mode. I don't know if he can do that now.
That's why I wanted to ask you guys. When they calculate a pass rush win rate, is that only one-on-ones, or does it calculate when it's two-on-one as well?
I don't know how PFF does it.
So I'm curious about that because Micah Parsons has recorded a 23% pass rush win rate this season for the Green Bay Packers, a season high 43.8 pass rush win rate against the Detroit Lions. I didn't know if that was one-on-one matchups or if they're calculating it when he's taking on a double team as well.
Yeah, I think it's just, hey, did you win this rep or did you not win in the rep? I think that's how they calculate it, whether it's a double team or not. Right? I think that's just kind of how that ends up getting calculated. Because it would be such a small sample size if it's just one-on-ones for Micah Parsons, because he gets doubled so often.
Joshy pulled up some numbers for us at Pottawatomie. If you're curious about how those numbers shifted after the Packers beat the Lions, they shifted significantly. Packers are now plus 1,000 to win the Super Bowl. Packers are plus 500, as Joshy referenced earlier, for the NFC champion. To be the NFC champion. And then did you see division as well? Did they have the NFC North? Packers favorited, right? They're the favorite to win the North now?
Packers are the favorite.
And you said that they are a 6-point favorite in the game against the Bears this weekend, even though that game is at Soldier. It is at Soldier this weekend.
No, it is at Lambeau.
It's at Lambeau. So they are at home this weekend.
Is this a don't sell your tickets weekend?
It's always a don't sell your tickets weekend, Chew.
All right. I'm just... Kind of feels.
Whether or not LaFleur says it at the podium remains to be seen, but I wouldn't be shocked if he happened to mention it when he steps up to the podium.
Is it
going to
be cold?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, quick vote, and I know we don't have the entire catalog in front of us. Is this the most important Bears-Packers game? I don't want to go so far back as to the Super Bowl of 2010.
Well, when's the last time they flexed a game, Packers-Bears? Because this one got flexed.
Yeah, it was at noon, and now it's at 3:25.
Probably hasn't happened in a long time.
I feel like it's probably been more recent than we would think.
So?
Just because it's a rivalry and like a marquee.
You're talking about the flexing.
Yes.
Not the most important.
Yeah, no. I think this game's probably been flexed more than we'd think just because it's two teams that people want to watch.
Okay.
But both Josh, you suggested 2013.
Yeah,
the regular season finale.
Oh, the regular season finale was big.
Rodgers to Cobb.
Yeah.
That game. I mean, because
that was for the division as well.
There's been no stakes. These games for the better part of a decade turned out, well, how bad is Aaron Rodgers going to beat them and embarrass the Bears again? And it was just like clockwork. And it happened there's actually, as much as I don't think the Bears are for real, there are real stakes attached to this, which hasn't been the case for a long time.
I think you're making a great case that it's the most important Bears-Packers matchup, regular season matchup, if we want to. And again, they haven't played all that often in the postseason, but it does happen, of course, since 2013.
You guys know who you're taking?
The Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Not yet. Too early. Got to wait for the weather.
What's going to
significantly change between now and then? It's going to be cold.
Wind? He's talking about his weather. He's talking about how he'll be in warm weather.
I will not be watching the game in this.
What, sweatshirt?
He might need his electric blanket down in Florida. At kickoff, the temperature is going to be 20 degrees.
It's Monday.
Yeah.
So if what, it's going to significantly change?
Yes.
It's going to become 40 degrees?
Yes.
No. Like, it's going to be in the ballpark. What's the difference between
wind? What are they saying wind? He can't tell me what the wind's going to be on Sunday.
They're pretty good at it now, actually.
Huh? Yeah. The wind gusts up to 15 out of the northwest at 6.
Too early. I'll let you know Thursday.
You would think that the injuries would be more important to your wait and see.
I love this game we play where Chewy has determinations, but if it doesn't fit what he wants, he's the wait and see.
You've come in on Mondays and going, oh, this team's going to win. I'm telling you right now. But now today we got to wait? Is that how Chewy jumps?
ChatGPT has nothing on me.
Chewy Domus, that's how this whole thing works?
Yes. I don't like the fact that the line is 6.
Why?
Because it's too high. It's too high. And I know what Ben Johnson's going to do. And a young team excited buys into this crap.
You know what Matt LaFleur's going to do?
What?
He's also going to take those comments that Ben Johnson made when he was hired, and he's going to make that personal.
Ooh.
And play that up to his team throughout the course of the week.
What did he say?
You don't remember that?
Did he take his shirt off?
This weekend.
He kept his shirt on.
He's had fun beating Matt LaFleur.
Yeah. Like,
why did he take his shirt off?
Free hot dogs.
Yes.
Free hot dogs?
Yes.
the hell's that have to do with your shirt off?
The Wiener Circle said that if Ben Johnson takes his shirt off, was it specifically after a win? I didn't get to see all of the.
Yeah, because like his post-game stuff has gone viral. Like they Bears always post it, and he's doing some crazy stuff. And yes, a hot dog restaurant in Chicago said if he takes off his shirt,
okay,
then we will give away free.
But I was watching clips of him over the weekend, and he was Willie Joe High School from the start, even when he was in high school.
Ben Johnson?
Yeah.
Wait, okay. So
what does that even mean?
So you're taking shots at him now, but you say he's really good. Like
he is really good, but he's still Willie Joe. He do things that you do in high school, like the cream puff thing. Oh, they sent us cream puffs. Let's get them. You know? I'm not into Willie Joe High School.
I'm going to have to look up Willie Joe High School before I determine if I'm into it or not. We've enjoyed having professional construction.
It's a Chewy creation. Good luck looking it up.
Help us out with our home projects. As you might know, my husband and I can't handle all of the things that come with having a home, but we do rely on our friends over at PCI to help us out with them. Whether that is fixing the balcony that was leaking into our home, whether that is the holes that were in our siding because of the woodpecker, or whether it was finishing our basement to give us more space for our family, the PCI team was always there for us, and they can be there for you as well. And now, PCI offers a virtual interior design program. Maybe you're not ready for a full construction project, but if you are ready to refresh an outdated room, PCI can help as well with stunning photorealistic renderings, a mood board, and a curated shopping list, all delivered directly to you. Learn more at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. That's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What operating system does a Chewy computer run on?
I believe it's a Cat 14.
It's a COS. It's a Chewy operating system.
I was thinking Windows 98.
Yeah, I mean, very similar.
It's dial-up. Let me get my modem.
Chewy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Little the Pfizer Forum. After purchasing a bet, a wristband will be given to you at the bar or the betting counter upon your request. Must have a wristband to board the shuttles. Wristbands are not required for return shuttles. This is an easy way, guys, to get down to Pfizer Forum. Pickups are at the Annex, which is right next to the Potawatomi Sportsbook. So make sure you bet above the rest and secure a seat on the shuttle to Pfizer Forum for Bucks games. Badgers lost this weekend to Minnesota. There's a lot of talk about the Paul Bunyan axe. But we want to give everybody a football team to root for this postseason. And it is one that hits close to home because, Chew, we have talked about this a little bit. Your son is a coach for the North Dakota State football team, the number one seed in the FCS bracket. They had the bye this weekend. They will play Illinois State on Saturday. And we think this is a good opportunity to collect some fans for North Dakota State here in the great state of Wisconsin. So we will be actively rooting for North Dakota State. What do we need to know about this team, Chew? Other than the fact that your son is on the staff, what do we need to know about North Dakota State, the number one seed?
They're good.
All right, and thus concludes our North Dakota State check-in.
They're good. They could beat a lot of FBS Division I. I think the big game they played last year where they got screwed, lost to Colorado. But their target on them. They got a target on them. Number one seed, they blew pretty much everyone out most of the year. But playoffs are different. I don't miss the tightness. God. Because I talk to my son pretty much every day.
Coach has time for you?
Tight. Yeah, but it's a little truncated now, you know. Plays a little big time. But we used to say with Holmgren, geez, and he would get tight in the playoffs. You couldn't take a toothpick smothered in Vaseline and jam it up his tuchus. That's how tight he was. Coach has got a little of that.
What a pretty picture you're painting.
But you know what coach is the best at? Coach speak. He is.
Does he, wait, he even lays that on you?
Yeah, but he does it to cooking. He does it to outfits, you know.
It's just a part of everyday life.
Cooking steaks. I got to get after it. I got to get. The grill has to be 350. If it's not, you know, it's going to be a long day. Okay, so, and you got to pair the wine. If the wine doesn't show up, I don't like our chances.
Is that on you to pair the wine? Does he delegate to you to that to you
no,
as
he,
the as
he
the wine
looks
expert?
To me to pay for the wine. That's what he looks.
You're just the money.
Looks to do. Yeah.
Hey, every good program needs some money behind it, Chu. Every good program.
We're seeing that more and more every single year.
Nothing like good, solid coach speak, though. Because it is
so
annoying. Yes, it is so.
That's why whenever we're like, hey, you got to listen to the Matt LaFleur press conference. I'm like, seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, I do, but it still stinks. They're playing Illinois State. I believe they played Illinois State earlier this season, and you said that was a tight game for them.
Tight game is, you know, I think they were coming off a big, I think it was the game after South Dakota State, who was number two. They took it to them pretty well, so it might have been of a little bit. But playoffs, we all know, anything can happen in the playoffs. Is it too early to book hotel rooms in Nashville?
No, I would book. Can't you cancel?
Can't you just go to Nashville
stuck
anyways?
And if he doesn't go, who's to, if he's not in Nashville, who's to say you can't just go to Nashville?
That's fair.
Just have a good
January
time.
January 5th, Nashville?
Ooh, yeah. I don't know about that.
Nice weather.
He books, okay, let's work through this really quickly before we get to Rob Domofsky. Chewy books tickets to Nashville. Coach's team doesn't make it to Nashville. Chewy and Ange go to Nashville. IPT?
No.
Does that look bad?
Win the damn game.
Okay. They did their part to be there to support.
Uh-huh.
You got to do your part and be there.
We're just following through. That's what we're doing.
Correct.
But what's Nashville like, January? It's got to be.
I don't know, Chu. That's
chilly?
Months away. You can't look. People, can't look and see what the weather's going to be like in January.
Is he being sarcastic? I'm not getting it.
Don't people go to Nashville?
You
for
just
New
said
Year's?
You can't look at what the weather is for the Packers game on Sunday. I'm giving it right
but
back to you.
Won't there be a lot of availability on January 5th? Because a lot of people will have gone for New Year's.
I'm assuming whoever the two teams are in the championship game are going to be buying up hotel blocks.
That's fair.
Yeah, but I mean, besides it, Nashville.
I was going to say, it's Nashville. I can't imagine you're going to have too much difficulty finding somewhere to stay.
It's not like it's Ohio State, Michigan being played there, right? No, no offense to coach in North Dakota State.
Yeah,
just don't think
coach
the fan
is
base is
oh,
quite
it's
going to
be sold because they're playing at Vanderbilt Stadium.
Oh,
it'll be sold out. Got to be sold out. I'm
like, all right, so he told you it's going to be sold out, so you just went ahead and booked your hotel room.
All right, so if I have to get the wine for his steak dinners,
yeah,
and I can't cancel the hotel, shouldn't he have to eat it, being the number one seed and not making it all the way?
I mean,
he is off scholarship now, which is real nice.
Ooh,
yeah. Well, not all the way off. He's just
as close as it's going to get.
Partially off.
Still has a partial.
Yeah. We are rooting for the North Dakota State football team this weekend as they take on Illinois State. Chewy's son is a coach for that program. They are the number one seed in the bracket. Cole Payton is the quarterback. He's a dual threat quarterback, an efficient passer, and a strong runner. I'm actually going to watch. I got a vested interest in this.
And Bryce Lance. Trey Lance's brother
is a wide receiver on the team.
Nice player.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more about North Dakota State as the week goes on, Gabe.
Boost culture with captivating corporate events like appreciation parties, brand activations, and more with our friends at Events by Design. The creative team at Events by Design, they truly enjoy the work they do, believing every event should not just be successful, but fun. One that people are talking about years later, whether it's a big event, whether it's a small event that they can just contribute to. Events by Design is going to be able to help you because they implement those fresh ideas in every detail from planning to production. For over 25 years, Events by Design has helped companies execute successful events, so retain your top talent by investing in your culture today. It's easy. You just search online. Events by Design. They design. You party.
Josh, I love the intros, but man, that's last year's intro.
ESPN's number one source for green and gold information.
Oh, yeah.
Once again,
Rob. He's cracking the lid.
We did this last time. You have to speak on the show for me to give you an intro.
You know what? You're right.
Our most musically inclined and bald guest.
I feel like a jerk. I really do. Like, that was terrible.
It's Rob Domofsky on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let's get right to it with Rob Domofsky. Rob, how you doing today?
Good, Jen. How are you?
We're good. I hope you had a very happy holidays. We were talking earlier in the show. Is this the most important Bears-Packers game since the 2013 Rodgers to Cobb final week of the season for the division matchup? Or are we forgetting some important games in between?
No, I think this is like the latest that both teams have been this far over 500 in a season since like 1938 or something like that. I mean, it's the only thing is
I didn't realize it was that far back.
Like that. Yeah, you know what? The ESPN stats and info people had a great stat on it. And of course, my computer just shut down, so I don't have it handy. I will get it before we're done here. But the like the only thing I will say is like they play again in 2 weeks, so like that makes it hard to say. You know, this is the one, but it is close to the one, if that makes sense. Here's the numbers. Packers and Bears are 17-6-1 entering the week. Both have a winning percentage of 70% or better. The last time these two teams met, when week 15 or later, when both entered the game with a winning percentage like this, was December 11th, 1932.
Wow. That's crazy. So, Rob.
It's only the third time that these two teams have matched up with them being five games over 500, and it's 1963 and 2001. Now, what was the 2001? What was so great about 2001?
Was that the Bears?
Do you remember it all? I don't remember.
Was that when they came in late in the season and beat us at home? Let's see.
No, 2001, December 9th, Packers won 17-7 on the way to 12-4. That year. So,
So
don't remember it.
So Rob, Chicago manhandling Philly at home. Is that enough to make you say they're for real?
Yeah. I mean, it is, except for Philly is scuffling right now. Right. Like, I mean, that's the only thing, Chewy, that makes me, you know, hesitant to, you know, to say the Bears are the team. You know, their schedule coming up is obviously very difficult. I think they really only have one more gimme win on the schedule. That's Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, do I trust Caleb Williams yet? Not really. You know, I just, you know, there's still he's last in these, and I hate these things, so I can't believe I'm going to use it. But he's last in completion percentage over expectation, whatever the hell expectations are. I'm not sure whose expectations are, but that's an NFL next gen stats. You know, his off target percentage is high. I'm just not 100% sure that I'm sold on him yet. Obviously, they've got him doing some things that he's doing better. And Ben Johnson, yeah, remember Ben Johnson said he enjoys beating Matt LaFleur twice a year, so this is this shot to do it as head coach. So I do think there's a lot of juice in this game, but I'm not 100% sure on Caleb Williams yet.
Rob, I need help with something, because the numbers say the Packers are good against the run, and I know Devontae Wyatt being out certainly is going to hurt for the rest of the season, yeah. But they are eighth in the NFL in rushing yards, sixth in yards per attempt on the defensive side. So why is it part of team strategy to run the ball against the Packers in order to beat the Packers?
Probably because they're scared of Micah Parsons in the front, Gabe, don't you think? I mean, it has to be that you know, they're just, you know, he's a game wrecker, right? You mm-hmm. want to try to keep him off balance. And that's the only thing I can think of, but I think it's a valid reason. You know, it's like, all right, where do you start when you game plan? You start there. You start with Micah Parsons and you figure out, you know, how can we neutralize this guy? How can we minimize the impact? He's going to make plays, but how can we minimize the impact that he has? So I would think that's why teams are probably trying to run at him. And look, I know Micah gets defensive about his run defense, and you know, he's a fine run defender, but is he as impactful against the run as he is in the pass rush? No. So I think that's where it starts.
Rob Domofsky hanging out with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he does each and every Monday during the football season. Rob, what is the game plan with Wyatt out? Who needs to step up? Does it extend to the second level with those guys sort of clogging up some of those holes? How do you see this shaking out with Wyatt out?
Yeah, unfortunately, Ben, there's not a lot of in-house options. I mean, and there's also not a lot of guys on the street either right now. Like, it's not like you can just go out and you know, and find somebody. I think Nazir Stackhouse is going to have to make a bigger impact. You know, we raved about him during training camp, the undrafted rookie. Kept that streak alive of an undrafted rookie making the team every year since 2005, I think it is. He hasn't played a ton of snaps. Colby Wooden was having a really good year. That's a guy that's going to have to step it up just a little bit more, Carl Brooks. And then, I mean, you know, you're probably going to have to – it's probably going to be, you know, some sort of scheme thing from Jeff Hafley where he's just going to have to get better at it. And then it's going to have to be, you know, is there somebody on the practice squad that they can get up here? I'm looking at the practice squad. There's so many guys on the practice squad now.
Saw only one name tackles on the practice squad at this position, and it wasn't somebody I was that familiar with.
I'm looking here real quick.
James Esther?
From Northern Illinois. Yeah, yep. Esther. He was a undrafted rookie 2 years ago. He's been here for 2 years now. He has not played. I think maybe he's got a practice squad elevation or two, but he has been here for the entirety of Jeff Hafley's tenure. So he obviously is familiar with the defense. He knows that. But I mean, that's it. You know, that quite frankly is where they're at right now. They should get Quay Walker back, which would be a big help. Not obviously in the defensive front, but Quay Walker is as important as anybody to the interior of this defense. So getting him back, should help. And then they still do have Warren Brinson, the rookie, out of Georgia, who has played a little bit, but they're going to have to get him going too. So it's not going to be easy. And I don't know that there's Howard Green walking through this door like they did in the Super Bowl season, where they picked him up late in the year and made a big impact.
Rob, is this game more about the offense, though? I mean, we know the defense is good. We know it's probably good enough to win it all. But the problem with the offense is they have a good game like Pittsburgh, and then they're just meh for three.
Yeah, and Chewy, here's the thing that I don't know that we can count on with the offense is what are they going to be successful at? Like, and some of it is a credit to Matt LaFleur that he's able to take a run-heavy game plan 1 week and be successful with it, and then sort of turn Jordan loose a little bit the next week. Like they did in Detroit, and take some shots down the field. But what can you count on? Like, that's the thing that you don't know. And maybe they're doing this on purpose, and maybe, you know, we should give Matt LaFleur more credit than we are for being this, you know, adaptable coach to whatever the week requires. But I'm just not sure that there's something they can hang their hat on where you know it's going to be there. Now, getting Jaden Reed back this week, I assume he'll probably play against the Bears should help. I mean, that's a safety blanket and a security blanket. I mean, and a guy who, people forget he's our leading receiver the last 2 years. You know, I mean, this is not just a guy. This is the guy who was a big focal point of their offense. So maybe that gets something going in the short and passing game and the crossing route kind of thing that maybe they haven't had a lot of.
So with him returning, once Golden gets healthy, they're going to be healthy at that position for the first time in a long time. In order to get where they want to go and beat Chicago this week, beat Chicago in a couple of weeks, win the division, host playoff games, is it as simple as, hey, you turn Jordan loose against Detroit, you need to turn Jordan loose more often?
Yeah, I mean, that's the way we would look at it, Gabe. I think that's an accurate way to look at it. I just don't know if that's how the coaches look at it. You know, it just doesn't seem like that's what they're willing to do consistently. Now, it is what they did late in 2023, and they rode it a long, long way. But right now, if you're looking at this team on offense, that's probably the strength. You know, I mean, they've got a lot of guys there now. Tucker Kraft's obviously not coming back, but from the receiver position, they've got a lot of options, and that could make them difficult to defend.
Is he good in the cold, Rob?
Jordan?
Yeah.
That's a good, I don't know if we have enough sample size on him yet, Chewy. Trying to think of some cold weather games, in 2023. Obviously the playoff game in Dallas was indoors. They lost to Tampa at home. Remember that Baker Mayfield went crazy, I believe, in that game, if I'm not mistaken, in 2023. Last year, late in the year.
Got hurt against Chicago. Weather.
Yeah.
That was a really New cold Orleans, game.
Yeah, New Orleans was 34 degrees. Miami at home on Thanksgiving night was 27 degrees at kickoff last year, and they won that game. So it's just there's not enough to say that this guy is like, you know, like Brett was, or you know, for most of his career until he wasn't. You know, I mean, Brett was the ultimate cold weather quarterback until he wasn't, and it got ugly in 07 when it got cold. Yeah. But I don't think we know enough yet. It's a good question though.
Rob, we appreciate you hanging out with us. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again very soon.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Follow Rob Domofsky on all social media. Read his stuff on ESPN.com. He's a great source for all of your Packers information.
It is a Victory Monday. It's brought to you by National Liquor Mart, 16th and National in Milwaukee, packed with the best liquor, beer, and seltzer. Spirit deals in town, open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily, where your satisfaction is their plan of action. Victory Monday also brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Scream of Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. And Victory Monday brought to you by Callan. From kitchen and bathroom remodels to Infinity by Marvin fiberglass replacement windows, Callan makes your home feel like a win. Request your consultation today at callcallan.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You got to have a condiment with the bread.
Yeah, you want some sort of alone. Yeah, you want some sort of lubricant with the bread. Yes, that's correct.
Yes,
it's just necessary.
You follow?
Like, you don't just be sitting there eating like pieces of white bread with nothing on it.
Can't be going dry.
Yeah, can't be raw dog and just white bread.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. Okay, so how do you... Okay, what, you're feeling like you're running on empty. What does that mean? Well, you might have low testosterone. Some symptoms include low energy, motivation, fatigue, you're just tired all the time, weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat. You feel anxious, moody, or irritable. And that's where Mentality can come in and help. Board-certified physicians provide a full physical consultation and blood panel analysis. That is all during your first visit. And how Mentality helps is they really focus on your free testosterone levels, which can unlock a lot of those issues you may be dealing with. Your energy then comes roaring back. Your belly fat burns off. Muscle strengthens. You start to feel like yourself again. You're confident, driven, ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be your best, not just for you, but for your family. Visit MentalityHealth.com/radio. That's MentalityHealth.com/radio. And book an appointment and see how Mentality can help you.
ESPN Analytics now giving the Packers a 19% chance to win the NFC. That according to GetUp, according to ESPN stats and information. You know, this show likes a little shart and farter. And if you're new around here, shart and farter is... Well, what we call, how do you say it, Gabe?
Schadenfreude?
Yep. I have to have Gabe say it because I don't know how to pronounce it. Schadenfreude works out real well for the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy crowd. Make sure you read some of the columns about Lane Kiffin that are out there today. Straight fire. Whether it's Nicole Auerbach over at The Athletic, whether it is local Mississippi columnists, they are aplenty. After Lane Kiffin decided, apparently after the Egg Bowl, did some praying, decided he's going to LSU.
Isn't it nice when you pray and the place that gives you the most money is what God tells you to do?
It's weird how that happens.
It's nice how that works out. Yeah. God just pointed him in the direction.
Do you think when he prayed, God also told him to hold Ole Miss hostage and tell all of his assistants either get on a plane now or I won't have a spot for you? Do you think that was also the guidance he received from the Lord?
It's so interesting because he had done so much to like revamp the narrative surrounding him, right? Revamp his reputation, the 6 years at Ole Miss. But, I mean, lack of commitment, lack of maturity, lack of awareness, lack of grace, all of these, I'm just reading from a column that is about Lane Kiffin. And, Joshy, what is the latest you're reading about the dog saga?
This is alleged. Let's get that out there right away. But Juice Kiffin, his dog, allegedly his dog, did not travel with him to LSU and apparently has never actually been his dog and was just a good photo opportunity that was raised by a handler.
Allegedly. So what you're saying is this guy has allegedly not changed.
I think of all the things we've said, that's the thing that's the most obvious.
Yeah, so allegedly the dog was just for photo ops to raise PR. It was a creation for the internet.
Like a social media phenomenon.
Uh-huh. Well, you don't need that good PR after everything you just did? How do you not still need that good PR?
How do you do this to the kids?
Yeah.
I don't want to hear your BS. Oh, the kids love the kids. Don't give me that.
He was trying to have his cake and eat it too, Chew. He was trying to stay, and he was having the Nick Sabans of the world and some of the other big name, big mouth people in college football campaign for him to be able to stay and coach the playoffs and then make the transition to LSU. But in this day and age, all he's doing is poaching. Yeah. All he's going to be doing is recruiting those kids to join him
at LSU.
But if I was a player for Ole Miss, I wouldn't want him coaching. I'd say, get the hell out of here.
He says, or there are rumors out there that the kids did want him to coach. But to be perfectly honest with you, Chew, that consistency, the guy who has gotten you to this historic season, I understand why you might want him there for the stretch run, home stretch.
I understand the transfer portal. I understand all that. But you're screwing the kids, you know?
Well, also, the goal is to win a national championship.
Yes.
You can play for a national championship in a couple of weeks if you decided to stay. Guy who's never won a big game in his life is now one of the highest paid coaches in college football.
Can't wait to hear his southern accent.
Family.
My family.
Willie and Taz is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.